Annenberg Radio News.
So I hope you'll just do that job. If not, my recommendation is to the mayor to fire you.
Tempers flare at the LA City Council meeting over the plan to cut money from the neighborhood councils. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 18, 2010. I'm Heather Hope. Today, the City Council voted to eliminate 3,000 more city jobs by July 1st. Some of the employees could be transferred to other departments. Another 1,000 layoffs are already planned. The vote came just a day after a major credit rating service put Los Angeles on its naughty list. Moody's is warning investors about the city's fiscal health because the council has not figured out how to close the budget deficit. Before today's vote, the mayor again urged city workers' unions to accept pay cuts to avoid further layoffs. A new policy from the LA County Sheriff's Department went into effect today. It's aimed at cutting down the use of deadly force. As Ariel Edwards Levy reports, the department says it's addressing a problem that has long plagued deputies.
The age-old question facing law enforcement, if a person who you believe is armed runs from you, what should you do? What are your options?
LA County Sheriff's deputies got some new answers to that question, thanks to a policy change announced by Sheriff Lee Baca. The change calls for deputies to use more caution in pursuing suspects, says department spokesperson Steve Whitmore.
In many cases, there's no need to run after, to drive after an individual. There's a need to contain the environment so the individual cannot escape but call for backup.
The policy comes after a string of controversial shootings last year, including one of an unarmed man not involved in a crime. The new regulation is believed to be one of the first of its kind. Community activist Earl Afari Hutchinson hopes other agencies will follow suit.
This is one of the rare instances where a law enforcement agency has taken the initiative at the urging of civil rights groups and actually have formulated a real policy on the use of force, especially when not to use it.
Hutchinson says shootings have dropped dramatically since the policy review began, and he says the policy is good for all sides.
If officers are involved with the use of force, there's always a possibility they can get shot. It cuts both ways. So it's good for the community, it's good for law enforcement, and I think it's a win-win all the way around.
Baca says the changes will go into effect almost immediately. Ariel Edwards Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Nearly a year ago, President Obama signed the Recovery Act, which awarded millions of dollars in stimulus funding to the city of Los Angeles. Today, Mayor Villaraigosa announced a new program that will put Angelenos back at work. Amanda Herman reports that workers are grateful to have a steady job.
I'm just here employed and grateful.
With smiles and applause, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Los Angeles workers listened to a success story from Mike Mack, a Metro bus driver. Mack is one of 2,000 workers who are benefiting from the city's job training programs. Villaraigosa says $7 million will go towards training workers in high-growth and high-wage industries like healthcare, green technology, and hospitality.
You have a smile on your face when you look in the mirror, don't you? In no small part, because you got a job.
Los Angeles received $600 million in federal stimulus funds over the past year. The Workforce Investment Board oversees job training funds for the city. The board's chair, Charlie Wu, explained that although the $7 million announced is just a small part of the overall stimulus money, every little bit makes a huge difference.
The money is now out the door on the streets serving the residents.
In the midst of layoffs, the mayor says job training programs are one way to keep Angelenos from unemployment. Unemployed workers can get more information about free job training and education by calling 311 or visiting www.wib.lacity.org. Amanda Herman, Annenberg Radio News.
LAUSD Superintendent Ramon Cortinas today resigned from his position on the board of Scholastic Incorporated. The company has made more than $5 million from LA schools. Cortinas said he'd never used his position to influence contracts with the company. Still, some in the district said just being on the board created a bad perception. A report released today warns of pollution dangers in bodies of water, such as the Los Angeles River. Chris Foy reports.
Nonprofit organization Environment California says the Federal Clean Water Act has failed to stop pollution. According to their new report, unchecked pollution could damage our water sources here in Los Angeles. Emily Rich of Environment California says the Federal Clean Water Act is often violated without consequence, and that it is essential Congress protects water sources by enacting the Clean Water Restoration Act. This legislation would restore federal protections for all water sources previously covered by the Clean Water Act and to make sure those who pollute our water sources pay for it.
Polluters have been given a green light to ignore the Clean Water Act, even when it may destroy a stream or affect our drinking water supplies.
In California, everything from smaller waterways to larger bodies of water like the Los Angeles River would be contaminated because of unregulated dumping of sewage, oil, and other toxic wastes. Environment California is asking Congress to pass the Clean Water Restoration Act to help combat this pollution.
The longer we allow dumping to continue and this pollution to continue, the greater the consequences will be. So it's important that we act as quickly as possible so that we can get these protections back in place.
California Senator Barbara Boxer has already supported the Clean Water Restoration Act, but the bill needs more support in Congress. Emily Rich urges California voters to call local representatives in support of the bill. This would help raise awareness at the state level. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
This afternoon, the Central City Association hosted its 10th annual Downtown Los Angeles Economic Forecast. Timothy Beckworth has more on a surprisingly optimistic report.
Current forecast for the downtown LA area, economic crisis with a chance of light recovery by the end of the year. Unemployment highs will hover around 12.5%, with lows reaching an even 12 by 2011. That's according to the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation, which has predicted growth for the downtown LA area over the next year. Chief Economist Jack Kaiser says the entertainment and tourism sector will help drive growth.
The new convention center hotel that just opened up this past Monday at LA Live, and the LA Convention Bureau has been very successful in booking business shows into that facility. So that means you're going to have more business travelers in and around downtown.
Kaiser also believes the Exposition Light Rail will bring more Angelenos into the area as well. Unfortunately, the report says Los Angeles will experience what's called a jobless recovery. Since job creation usually lags behind recovery, unemployment will remain high even as the economy gets its legs back. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
Expected to get a little foggy this evening and throughout tomorrow as rain tries to make its way in on Saturday. Temperatures will be in the mid-60s with lows in the 50s. There's a slight chance of rain Friday and definite showers for Saturday and Sunday. So get those umbrellas ready for this weekend. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll have student reaction to the UC San Diego party that mocked Black History Month. The 7.0 earthquake in Haiti happened over a month ago, but relief efforts are still going strong. USC's own chapter of the California Student Public Interest Research Group, known as CalPERG, held an event today on campus. As Tracy Oppenheimer reports, they raised donations for the poverty-stricken country.
Tommy Trojan is a popular recruiting area for student organizations. But today, student groups put aside their own agendas to come together for a common cause, Fight On for Haiti. CalPERG, a student activist group, teamed up with eight other campus organizations to hopefully raise $5,000 for Haiti relief efforts. Student CalPERG event organizer Will Seeley said this is the first event of its kind.
All these student groups are coming together for one cause, so why shouldn't you? Like, why can't you one more time? Because students can't. We have the ability to, and all we have to do is, you know, spend a little extra time, get a little more aware, and, you know, donate $5 here and there.
Americans have sent more than $300 million to Haiti in the days following the quake. But CalPERG event coordinator Lucas Noble says that's not enough to counter the devastation that rages on.
In our culture, sometimes people think that they can send a quick text to the American Red Cross and suddenly they're relieved of helping a nation that's in devastation. This country has been totally crippled. 3 million people are still without homes. We can't forget that just because CNN has stopped playing 24/7 clips of the nation, that this country is suddenly solved and better and healthy and ready to go.
The groups aren't just asking for cash. They're providing incentives as well. The Joe Wang Club is offering fortune cookies as a reward, and some groups are selling handmade jewelry. And for those starving college students that want to donate in other ways, they can offer words of support. There's a table set up for students to send cards to relief workers. It's not just students who are responding, though. Tina Sanders is an active parent in the South LA community who just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
I was just walking the track, and I saw that USC is now doing their spill for Haiti, which I think is beautiful. And so just being a part of the community, I decided to come over here and give a hand in any way I can. This is really a big global thing where it takes everybody to help one another.
CalPERC is planning to have more Haiti fundraisers, including an upcoming athlete auction at a USC fraternity house. So fortune cookies aren't doing the trick. Maybe extremely buff men will. Tracy Oppenheimer, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA City Council is considering taking $1.6 million in rollover funds from neighborhood councils. Council members want to use the money to fix the city's budget deficit. ARN's Karen Marcus explains.
The City Council heard complaints from neighborhood councils who claim the city should not be taking away their money. Cindy Hench is the Westchester Neighborhood Council president.
There's actually something really wrong with this proposal entirely. I don't know if you're aware, but the neighborhood councils have not been able to spend their rollover funds all year. So that's quite unfair, if fairness matters, because we've been restricted, not because of anything the neighborhood councils have done, but because of the city controller's audit and the accounting problems that Dunn has had, we haven't been able to spend that.
The city council's Education and Neighborhoods Committee proposed taking $1.6 million from the neighborhood council rollover fund. The city council wants to put it in the reserve fund to close the deficit. City Controller Wendy Gruhl found that the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment had lax financial oversight and a substandard accounting system. Councilmember Bill Rosendahl fumed over the possibility that his district's neighborhood councils might lose money.
So I'm upset that my four neighborhood councils that have been playing by the rules have put them in a position, and now we want to sweep their money.
Rosendahl isn't alone in siding with the neighborhood councils. They feel the city administrator's office and the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment are mismanaging money. Stephen Box, who runs Budget LA, thinks the city needs to get its act together.
The CAO, in his infinite wisdom, takes approaches kind of like this. Hey, what if we took one wheel off every car? Now we haven't given up any cars. But you see, a mathematical cut is not always the best cut.
Councilmember Greg Smith even suggested Mayor Villaraigosa fire the general manager of the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, Bongwan Kim. He blames Kim for accounting failures.
Can't do that. The question to you is, can you get your work done in that time frame?
I will do my best.
No, that's not good enough. Can you or can you not do it?
Within what time frame are you suggesting?
61 days total.
I will do my best.
Okay. And to that, if the mayor is listening, I say then if this general manager says that's the best he can do, we need a new general manager. I'm not satisfied with that answer. Neighbor council should not be satisfied with that answer. Your only responsibility in the next few months is to get them their money and let them finish their projects, and then whatever's left, let us deal with that. And if you can't do it, Mr. Kim, maybe you ought to quit today and we'll go find someone that can, but we got to move forward. We cannot accept I'll do my best answer around here.
The city also rejected a measure eliminating using bank cards. They are still debating whether to cut over half of next year's funds for the neighborhood council. The mayor will present a new budget to the city on April 20th. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
A former radio DJ turned author and inventor, Baron J. Littleton, is speaking around L.A. this month about his Little Black Book. He's the author of the series, Your Little Black Book, and his newest work, Your Little Brown Book. Here's what he had to say.
They listed different inventions and patents of African American people. And those inventions go from Sarah Boone, who innovated the ironing board, David Baker, who innovated the elevator scale. And how my books are set up, they're very concise, small, user-friendly. And they list the different inventions in entertaining ways. So I do a series of books on blacks in sports, history, science, entertainment, and business.
Cool. So how did you get started in that? I think you said like when you were in fourth grade, you kind of wanted to learn a little bit more about black history.
Yeah, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. My teacher was a white teacher that introduced me to black inventors. During Black History Month, we would have to get up in front of the class and talk 30 seconds about two black people. And one of mine happened to be an inventor, which was Garrett Morgan. And ever since then, I had a fascination because I didn't know that a black man invented the traffic light and gas mask. So ever since then, I've just collected information pertaining to black culture, black history.
Cool. And how, I guess, important do you think that book is for Black History Month?
That African Americans did contribute to society, and that if it wasn't for some of the things that we have invented, society wouldn't be the way it is today. Because if these people did it during a time where there was segregation and prejudice, they did it during that time, there's no excuse for us not to be innovators and inventors of today.
Definitely. How do you get inspired by your own book?
I get inspired now because I have created three things. I created a board game called Battle of the Minds, which is based on black achievement. It's Monopoly meets Trivial Pursuit. And I created a fragrance bottle, and I have an invention called Booty Wipes, like baby wipes.
So your own book inspired you to become an inventor yourself?
Yep, because a lot of people think it's a daunting task or it's difficult.
Okay, so tell me about your upcoming projects.
The Little Brown book on a contribution Latinos have made.
Great. And are you expecting to do some more different books?
I'm doing a Russian book, and I'm doing one on a Filipino contribution to society. And how these books came about is that other people from nationalities saw the book and they said, hey, we want to do one on our race. Can you help us? I said, yes, let's do it.
That was Baron J. Littleton, author of Your Little Black Book for African American Inventors. Students and civil rights leaders are angry over a UC San Diego party that mocked Black History Month. Members of Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity sent out a Facebook invite to the off-campus party. Held earlier this week, they called it a Compton cookout. They asked guests to wear cheap clothes and put on gold teeth. The students also asked guests to speak with a limited vocabulary. The fraternity says it didn't sponsor the event and sent out a statement condemning the students' actions. UC San Diego officials are investigating whether the students violated university policies and if they should be disciplined. We sent Liz Warden to talk with USC students and get their reactions.
Students we talked to didn't think the party was just fun and games. Many said parties like this only perpetuate stereotypes.
I mean, we always hear stories about fraternities doing things like that where you perpetuate stereotypes, and I think this is just really one of the worst examples. I've heard some really crazy stories about it. Just you wonder what their purpose was.
Just being a part of like a Greek life here at USC, you know, there's been a whole bunch of invitations that are based on just not necessarily like specific stereotypes, but ones that are like based on different like ethnic groups. Like we might have a Jamaica party and they say dress up like Jamaican, but no one's gonna say that that's really offending anyone because it's kind of this like very worldly. You can kind of base costumes around that. Mm-hmm. However, when you kind of bring up this point, this is kind of pushing it to a different level. I know that if they did, you know, me being Jewish, they did a Jewish party, it just would be kind of offensive to me.
I don't think that's a legitimate party name because those types of stereotypes are the things that feed hate and violence.
Well, I think 100% it perpetuates stereotypes because everyone's indulging in it and adding to it. And you know, it just snowballs.
That was Pedro Mora, Lexi Opper, Rajmi Riki, and Jack Levis. Liz Warden reporting, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Kate Cagle to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Well, hearings began today about possible sanctions against USC's entire athletics program. We have reaction from both former and current players, so tune in tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision for that.
Thanks, Kate. And now for our weekly segment called For the Record. This segment links Vancouver went through to protect Olympic athletes officials. Or 100,000 condoms to be split between athletes and coaches living in the Olympic Village. It turns out condoms are an essential part of the security games. In 2000, Sydney got 70,000 condoms and then had to order 70,000 more. Well, that's it for us this Thursday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Heather Hope. We'll be right back.